a workshop entitled Nuts, and I was really offended, you know. I'm like, okay, doing the same thing, expecting different results, and then nuts. And then this is the third time, and so I'm like, okay, maybe God is trying to tell me something, because I'd really like to do something like serene and clean and, you know, work in the steps. And but so I guess right where I'm at. I was thinking on the way up here, and I forgot all that I was going to say. So that's out the window. I was thinking on the way up here about how I used, and how I used to live and live to use, and how I can remember sending the same person out to get my drugs, and maybe one out of five times he'd come back. But I was always just standing there just waiting, because I knew he was coming back, you know. And just the thought of just standing there and putting my trust and my faith in something that changed my mood, and not moving and standing firm. And then when I get to recovery, I have no trust and no faith, and I'm afraid. And I thought that was just really crazy. I used for a long, long time. And I hope I can stay with the topic, because I don't really follow good orderly directions well, and my sponsor is here and she could tell you that. But I'm going to keep coming back. I used for a very long time, and I could get clean for a minute, but I couldn't stay stopped. And I came from a family who, of which I didn't think was dysfunctional. It was a family that had adopted me, and I remember vividly the day when my birth mother put my hand in her hand. And it was a family who thought giving love was giving me everything that I wanted. So as far as living life on life terms, I didn't understand the reality that life was going to tell me no sometimes, you know, because my mother and my father never did. And anyway, I'm so nervous. It's really difficult talking about me, because since I've been here, I've, you know, built up this wall. And I walk like there's nothing going on. But I'm just on such an emotional roller coaster right now that, you know, I don't know where to begin. You know, I lost my mom in November, and instead of letting you all know, I kind of sat with my pain by myself, and I didn't go into any meetings, and I isolated, and it's been very difficult for me to just get out of the bed, you know, and just, I waited until the very last minute to move, to do anything, to make it work, to cook, to get a shower. And I feel like how I felt the end of my using, and I hadn't used anything, you know. I was on a shopping spree, and, you know, those things worked in the beginning of recovery when I had all the gold and all the nice clothes, and those things are not working anymore, and I just feel so empty. And it's been difficult for me to share how I feel with you all, because my mother's always told me, you know, just whatever you do, don't let them see you sweat. And that's how I've been kind of carrying it, that I don't want anybody to see me sweat. You know, I want to look like I have it all together. And I don't. And I told someone the other day that I felt empty, and they reminded me that, you know, I had friends in Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm thinking to myself, I just don't understand. You know, I'm the only one in Narcotics Anonymous who has lost their mother, you know. And I feel like no one understands, especially since this was my first sponsor, you know, and my best friend. And I think about all of the things that I did to her in my using, and I didn't get a chance to say I'm sorry. So I feel real guilty about that. You know, she saw me clean, But I never got a chance to say specifically that I was sorry for assuming her name and getting her checkbook, and for assuming her name and obtaining credit cards. And and I'm real messed up about it, you know. And I haven't been wanting to come to meetings and talk about it. But I'm so glad that you all taught me that I needed to find a God. And when I first got here, you told me to find him now because that was all I had. And he's been sending people to me to help me get outside of me. And I've been struggling and kicking and scratching the whole way, you know. And I'm tired. I'm tired of sitting in my room and crying alone like I did at the end of my using. Someone asked me the other day, did I feel like I wanted to live? And I said, yeah, I do. So he said, act like it, you know. And that hurt, but it was the truth, you know. Get up out of the bed, get a shower, get some clothes on, and act like you want to live, you know. Because I do have friends in Narcotics Anonymous, people who genuinely love me. But my disease is telling me that I don't. My disease is telling me that, you know, don't call this person because they're really tired of hearing you share the same old shit, you know. And so I don't. I'm really beginning to understand how cunning and baffling this disease is. And it's very scary. And my friends around me, and I think I'm okay, I'm just hurting, but my friends around me say that they're fearful. I'm like, what do you think I'm going to use, you know? But I know you all can see me better than I can see myself. I don't know. Doing the same thing, expecting different results. God. I do that all too often. Relationships. Doing the same thing. You know, it's when you hook up with me, you're mine, right? Okay, you sign on, and this is it. And so, this real calm, cool person that you see walking in and out the rooms, all of a sudden is Jekyll and Hyde. And, you know, I try to hide it as long as I could, but on a one-on-one basis, it comes out. So when you say, after you find out what a psycho I am, that you want out, it's like, I don't think so, you know. And that's really bad because I hold people hostage, you know. And that's low self-esteem, you know what I mean? And so I will improve. You know, I'll get better, and I'll hold my tongue, not any altercations, and I'll start to look like I'm getting better, and then the real me comes out again. So what that tells me is that I need to really work on me. Because, you know, I mean, I just cannot hold people in my life when they don't want to be there. And then I will get to the point where I decide I want to move, and I'm praying, oh, God, please, please take this individual. And then once God, and this is not with this individual, this is with anything that I ask God for specifically, and once I see him working, I'm like, oh, never mind. That, then again, no, you know, don't take the individual, don't take the job. So what I found out is I can't ask for specifics. You know, and I have to continue to ask for God's will, and that's hard. Because I want this, 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 that, and the other. And I want a green, purple, half a carrot. And then he gives it to me. And once he gives it to me, I don't want it. I don't know. I don't know too much about anything but using and buying vehicles for real. It's another addiction that I have. You know, when I'm feeling low, I just go buy a new car. You know? And my son said, you know, my friends are like, Ma, you know, are we selling drugs or what's going on here, you know? Because they're not rooty-pooty cars. They're, you know, nice cars. And that's an addiction. That's crazy. So after my mom died, I bought a new car, and I felt really good. I did. But it only lasted 2 days. Usually, that kind of high will last me about a week, you know. And this time, it only lasted 2 days. And then I wouldn't drive the car, you know. And my sponsor said, honey, baby, let me tell you, you don't buy four cars and park them in front of a rental townhouse. And, you know, and I wanted to say, how dare you, you know what I mean? But the reality was, oh, my God, you know, I've only got two parking spaces out front, and where am I going to put the other two cars, you know? And so, of course, you know what I'm doing now, I'm trying to hurry buy a house, because, I don't know, you know, I'm a real crazy, mixed-up individual, and I'm beginning to know that I'm not this sane person that I portray myself to be. I'm beginning to see Dee Dee just for who she is, and a lot of it I really don't like. So that means I've got to, you know, stop BSing and do some work, and I'm lazy. You know, I think things are supposed to be handed to me on a silver platter. But the end result of all of this buying of flowered clothes that I don't like, I'm hoping anybody got no flowers on, because I can't, and, you know, all of these flowers and trees I've bought to put in my yard, and my kids are wondering when I'm going to buy the groceries. And just all of this insane, crazy behavior is just a way of me not wanting to deal, you know. And then it doesn't feel good. And I've always heard you share that all of those things were going to run out. And I would sit in the back and say, not me, you know, because I'm going to be okay. And it's finally happening, you know. I'm finally beginning to feel empty inside, and I want something more besides four cars, a new home. And I've always been a materialistic person, you know. I told a friend of mine that, you know, I will not say I do until you have two carrots. But the materialistic side is what's killing me. The image is what's killing me, you know. And it's been so hard to just let go. My sponsor said if you never had portrayed an image, then you wouldn't have to protect one. You know, sometimes she's very ruthless, you know, but I love her because she tells me exactly what I need to hear. And I may not speak to her for a week, but it gives me time to process what she said. I don't know. I'm just glad that God has been working through you all, kind of have drugged me back into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And I have really missed you all so very much, you know. And I'm glad that I'm not the only psycho Dee Dee, am I?
No.
Okay. You know, because if I think that I am, I'm going to be isolating again. You know, I've always searched for a place where, you know, I could fit in. You know, I didn't fit in with the bad girls. I didn't fit in with the hip girls. I didn't fit in with the real pretty girls. I ain't fit in with the ugly girls either, but... And I always wanted to find a place where I belong, and it's right here, you know. And I don't know if anybody's here who's here for the first time. You don't have to travel the road that I travel. It was been a very painful, glittery road filled with flowers and cars and gold and jewelry, but no inner peace. And I think I'm finally convinced that, you know, I want the inner peace that I see that you have. I want the peace that you have, you know. And I tried for a while to kind of do without it. And there's a hole in the middle of my stomach. And I can feel it, you know what I mean? And I'm... All I got to say is that the forefathers who walked before me, you're telling the truth. You know what I mean? It's an inside job. I just acknowledged 7 years. You wouldn't believe it because you would think I was a newcomer, but I just acknowledged 7 years clean. And I didn't have to make it this hard. I just was my own enemy. So what I've been doing is praying more. And I've been calling people more, and I've been showing up to meetings more. And I've even been raising my hand without someone calling on me. Vicky tells me that talking saves her life. And I'm like, I don't know where she get that from, but it saves my life. So now with this, then I bought a new car, and I got this $900 electric bill. I'm not going to become Amanda and put the electric in Amanda's name. I'm going to pay the electric bill. And I'm on up to my responsibilities and become more manageable today. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, because I talk real good for the moment, but I don't know. This has been the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I'm really, truly learning to love Narcotics Anonymous, and I will hear you all say that too, that they love Narcotics Anonymous. And I couldn't understand, but I'm beginning to love Narcotics Anonymous because it is saving my life a day at a time. Was that on the subject? Okay. Doing the same things, expecting different results. Okay. That's about enough out of me. I feel better already. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Jeff.
Oh, hi, I'm Jeff. I'm an addict. I like this. It's fun. I want to thank Diddy for sharing it, just telling the truth. That's all I can do is stand up here and tell the truth. And I've been coming up, I've been clean 13 years, Monday. And, Monday. And I really came in here with the idea. I told a couple of older guys that I knew when I showed up here that I grew up with who had been here for a while that I would do 10 and then hit the road. I'd give you 10 years of my time, 10 years of my life, and then I'm out of here. And at the 10-year mark, I started telling people that I was ready to graduate from the program. And the blessing was I would say it in a meeting, because there are a lot of our peers who have walked away from the program, and some with success and a lot without success. I don't know why I would want to leave something that has, set such a profound change in my life, even with the ongoing resistance that I still try to put up. This is a powerful program. And the longer you're here, the more you appreciate it. Also, the longer you're here, the more scary this shit gets. Because I remember in the old days, and they don't really say it a lot anymore, but the longer you're here, the closer you are to something. I would hope it's not to getting high again. I don't think I could go back in the street and cop. My story would still tells me that I probably wouldn't come back in here and tell y'all anything. And a lot of folks have died around me as a result of copping again with time and program. I'm really proud of Dee Dee. I know she's been having a rough road, and it just takes a lot of courage to just say anything to anybody about what's going on with you. Nevertheless, said in front of 500 people, I'm mad because I'm happy because I like the crowd thing, right? But I really was a little mad at the 3 o'clock Friday time slot we got because I figured, in the old days it'd be 20 people sitting in here. No one gets down here to Friday night and they, You know, they be throwing down on Saturday all the big workshops, people running around the walls, but Ocean City is not a little Rudy Pooh convention no more. We're on the map. You know, we big time now. People coming from all over the place because this is a great convention. This is my 12th time attending this thing, and it is the bomb. You'll be hugging people that you just saw in a meeting yesterday, and they act like they haven't seen you in 5 years. Look, people be planning to go to Ocean City like they're going on a world cruise. And, you know what I mean? For some people, this is the big time, I feel a charge, I feel a sense of belonging, I feel a thrill that like my partner has been lacking, probably since the end of the holidays. I've just felt that hole too, you know, when you're involved with folks, and this is a program of people dealing and sharing with other people. This is something that I'm not really used to doing. People think I'm a people guy, but I'm an Aquarian, and I'm a kind of like a space cadet, and I like to hide out in the movies. You know what I mean? My sanctity is a matinee on Friday. You know, and I hope nobody from my job is here. But I need to go hide out because I don't want to deal. You know. And like any addict, with no matter how much time you have, I'm still looking for the fixer that I can't have anymore because I no longer do drugs. I really haven't been able to appreciate the accomplishments with minimal effort that have happened for me as a result of not using. Everything that I lost that mattered, I've had for years. All of the folks that I dogged out, and I'm talking about my real family, embrace me now, and it's an honor and a privilege when your parents say that you're a good son. You know, because my mother threw me out the house, and my father wouldn't have anything to do with me for years. And today, they can't get enough of my ass. And I owe that to y'all. I owe that to the program and the people, the angels that have stepped in my life at different periods and helped me when I needed help. I'm not a big fan of this topic because this is one of those topics that you give folks who have some clean time that's fucking up, you know. this is, be honest, you're doing the same thing, expect different results. So that means you ain't working on nothing, and, you know, it's a faction in the corner over there passing judgment, and I don't like him. And you know, I used to hear my first sponsor, and I'm going to say Nathaniel E., he was my first sponsor when I got clean, and he used to talk about people not liking him. And he would talk about it with such a burning desire. It was like a Jesus thing, and I felt like he was feeling like he was ridiculed, like Christ. They talked about Christ, and I'm like, how can you put yourself on a level with God? And this is a program that folks are just here, and everybody don't like everybody. I would really like, there are 5 or 6 people that would see me right now won't even speak to me, and I don't even know why they won't speak. And because I'm so petty, I go right there with them. I fuck you, I ain't speaking to you either. You know, instead of incorporating some of this incredible information that I've heard, and just go to these folks and say, look, what can we do to patch this up? And for real, a lot of times there's nothing you can do. You know, God going to do his thing when he's good and ready. And Jeff, he's not going to ask your permission to act. So, yeah, I did a lot of things and expect different results. You know, when I got here, I'm a late bloomer. I'm in my mid-40s now. And I really wasn't used to the attention that I just attracted. From other addicts, men and women. And I just, you know, try to just be honest and be myself, and folks, the majority of the folks like me a little bit. You know, I'm a bit standoffish because, like most people, I'm really still stunned by the accomplishments, and I'm still stunned by when people come up to you and they say, man, I really like what you had to say, or give me your number. And, of course, a lot of times folks never call. But just the idea that somebody would even step to me and say anything positive, I really wasn't used to that. I didn't have that happen when I was using. So I've had to make what I call emotional adjustments to everything. And most of my bottoms, believe it or not, have come in here. Food, sex, clothes. I wasn't into clothes for a while. Then I took a job at Oxford in 91 and went to New York and was in a mall every day in New York. Never in my life. I mean, you're talking about the disease switching faces. And I really wasn't looking for anything, any different results. I was just kind of wanting to feel good. You know, I was still looking for a thrill that I would get when I was using. And gradually what has happened, reality has sort of seeped itself in. It did it a long time ago, but I'm getting more aware of it because ain't nothing working. And I'm not to the extreme that some folks are with what they do to fill a void, because I ain't got no goddamn money like that. You know what I mean? I'm just one of those day-by-day kind of guys, man. And that's kind of funny. This program really fit me years before I got here, because my ex-wife used to call me day-by-day Jeff. And because I had no plan of action, all I did was use and be a pain in her ass and be a very irresponsible guy, a bum. And she said, you just don't have a clue, do you? And, of course, she's no longer my wife. But what I guess what I'm trying to say is this thing fit me. And when I got clean, the 22nd of April of 1988, I was smoking crack for the last night. And I knew that whole day that it was going to be the last day I used. Didn't know what was going to happen the next day, because the pattern was get paid on Friday, be broke Friday, early Friday evening. You know, some people were weekend warriors and had it good, and I didn't hustle. I was petty. I would smoke it all up in 2 hours, and then I'd be mad all day Friday because nobody ain't trying to give you nothing. You know what I mean? And then Saturday I'm mad and pissed off, and Sunday I'm stealing from the corner store, and then I'm back on Monday thinking about getting high Friday. And that was the pattern in the end for me. That was how it went for a long time. I was doing the same shit, and I got the same results. The same pain, headache, the same emotional emptiness that you get when one is too many and thousands are never enough. I embraced the program the first time I went to a meeting. I walked into a meeting called Uptown in D.C. Saturday night. In 1988 in D.C., that's where everybody was. I didn't know that. But that's where everybody was. Our fellowship has expanded way out there now. We're way out there. But that's where everybody went on Saturday night. That was a party meeting. I didn't know, but I went in, and I remember getting the 24-hour key tag, like I had hit the number. You know, I felt like one of those guys like Bob Bach on Let's Make a Deal. Jeff G., come on down. You're the next winner in an opportunity to get your shit together. And I ran down there. I still remember it. I still remember it. There are highlights in this program that I'll never forget. And one was getting my first key tag. And I ran over there like I really won something. And I embraced this thing because I really believed that at 33, I knew the joke was over, because if anybody used remotely like I did, you know you really weren't getting high anymore at the end anyway. I don't know what they was giving us, but, you know, that shit wouldn't get me high at all. And it not only did it make emotional sense, but it was also economically feasible that I'd try something different. Because doing the same shit, getting the same results, man, gets old. It gets old out there, and it really gets old in here once you get a program. And I signed on at night, and I remember going home. I was living with another addict who came in. I hadn't seen her the whole day, and she had a handful of stuff. And I got my first opportunity to see what y'all said when y'all said that there's going to be a time when the only thing between you and getting high is God. And y'all didn't tell me it would be with 24 hours clean. I figured that would be down the road, right? I got it the first night. I went home from that meeting, and that person came in, and I made this big pronouncement that I went to my first NA meeting. I don't use anymore. I'm not messing with you no more, and I'm moving out. And she said, good. And she went in the kitchen, and in about 2 minutes, I smelt that familiar smell that we all these crack users know so well. What a smell. And right there, I had to decide if I was going to join her in the kitchen or roll out. God's grace. And early, my choice. Because what I think about is how many folks went home with the best of intentions from wherever, rehab, from jail. Because they tell you when you leave treatment. I never went to treatment, but I've done H&I work and been in all these places for years. So I've seen the stuff written on the boards in the meeting and what the counselors say and all that. And they say that usually when you get out of treatment, a lot of people get out the same day they leave. You know, the opportunity and the urge is still there and, you know, whatever. But I made a decision. I wouldn't get high no more. And it was the first time I ever said that I wasn't. So I didn't go in a room with her. She started following me to meetings. She used for about 3 or 4 months. And then I remember her at that same Uptown meeting in December of 88 getting off the floor. Because this is how that meeting was on Saturday night. It'd be people all over the floor and packed. And I remember looking at her saying, come on, get up, let's do this. And so in all likelihood, come December, she'll be celebrating her 13th year as well. And this is how this shit works. I mean, I'm glad I understand how it works. I ain't trying to figure nothing out. I knew early I couldn't figure nothing out. Because even though I'm the most dishonest guy in the room right now, I'm probably one of the smartest guys in the room. And this is a program that don't work for either one of those ideas. You know, you can't be a crook in here, because for real, doing the same things and expecting different results, that's like a fallacy. I do the same shit, I get the same results. I know what the results are going to be usually when I'm thinking about doing something. When I'm thinking about pulling out a caper, because I'm petty, I'm not going to do no big, terrible thing. You know, I'm not a bank robber. I'm not, you know, I don't smuggle keys, and I'm petty. I'll steal something out of your purse, or you know what I mean. I'll get something from you, don't give it back, or you're real petty. You know, that's my disease. That's me. I have a, you know, we were sharing in a meeting yesterday, and the people were getting so gut level honest about patterns of behavior with time clean, and I started thinking that the first thing I stole was a little Hawaiian punch bar at the Safeway over in Trinidad in Northeast. I was 5 years old. I remember vividly the whole scene. And I'm 46 now, and I don't think I stole anything lately, but that's over a 40 year history of being a thief. You know, once in a while I get away with it, because I get, you know, like anything addictive, once I get into that mindset that I want to be dishonest and be a crook, I just go for it. I don't just steal for a day or two. I just go on a run. And I'm still using it. You know what I mean? I'm going to be honest. I really want to know what it's like to experience total freedom from active addiction. I haven't got there yet. You know, I hear some people saying, and I don't know if they really understand what you're saying. But this is disease. As long as you're an addict, you're still going to be caught up in something, sometimes, once in a while. And that's me, you know. I have bounced from pillar to post trying to find my way and fill the void. The results no longer matter. You know, what I've decided to do and what I think God wants me to do is just stay committed to the recovery process. Don't try to roll up out of here on no zeal, and I got it good. I got the time. I don't need y'all no more. I need y'all more than ever. I'm in, you know, Dee Dee talked about being in desperate straits. I'm in desperate straits too. But what I do is I just operate on the principles that God gonna take care of me. I've went through enough clean to know that God got my back. And so I don't really flip out about shit. I mean, I'll be mad about some stuff or unhappy about things, and just because once you get your life back, damn it, you get your life back. And when you're asking for the opportunity to deal with life on life terms, you better be ready, because you're going to get a shot. And like I said, God often don't check in with me and say, Jeff, look, I'm great, drop this one on you. Just want to give you advance warning, look out. No, when he slammed me in 91 with my appendix rupture, I was in the VA and not on the street, or I would have died. When in 95, when my kidney shut down, and I'm sitting around waiting for it to get better, and my mom and my aunt came and saw me looking like death warmed over, and they yanked me in the hospital. They said, one more day, you'd have been dead. So I have physical evidence, not anyone's theory, no one's opinion. I have physical evidence that the grace of God is working in my life in spite of the shit I still do sometimes. He got me regardless. So now this is the hard part for me. Getting clean was easy. After the first couple of months of hooping and hollering and cussing everybody and realizing I was detoxing, not wanting to use drugs hasn't been a struggle for me at all. That's been easy. This is the hit. Why can't everything else be this easy? For those of us who really haven't struggled with staying clean, why can't the other 20 goddamn facets of your life go this smoothly? You know, why the kids just can't understand that I'm the parent and not you? Why can't my boss or my job understand that the ideas that you're trying to implement are bullshit? Why you just can't see things my way? You know what I'm saying? Here's what works for me. When I'm feeling like I really don't have a clue, which I don't most of the time, because I'm telling you, when you got God's grace in your life, you don't need to have a clue. You just go. You know what I mean? I've gone enough and hit the wall enough and bounced back enough to know that it's all right. And everything is happening. It's happening because it's supposed to happen. And like I always share with Dee Dee, that not only is it going to be all right, it's already all right. And believe it or not, it's been all right. You know, we all get a turn to participate in our life, and it's really blown up more when you're not using, because there is really no excuse to say, well, I was high, or no, I can't use that one no more. When I'm cutting up and acting like a person without a program, I got to be honest with me first, and then I got to raise my hand and let y'all know exactly what's happening with me right now. The exact nature, and then I need to sit there and let the folks say what they're going to say behind me, because I ain't one of those guys that share a bunch of shit, drop it on y'all, and run out and go out, hang outside and stuff. I park my ass in the seat and I stay till the meeting's over, because when I'm in trouble, when I share something, usually the pattern is that somebody's going to come behind me with their experience, and it's usually something that I can probably work with to get through the moment. That's why this program is so powerful. I'm improving in some of the behaviors, though. I'm not a thief as much as I can be. You know what I'm saying? I go to work. I do a good job. They like me on my job. And like I said, the people that matter the most, my family, adores me. I realize that I'm blessed, and sometimes the blessing, I wear it. You know what I mean? I look like I'm blessed, and because I just understand, you know, the grace of God, you know, and I'm not going to church on Sunday, and I'm not all caught up like that, but I just understand how he works, and well, I don't understand how he works, but I understand that he's going to take care of me regardless of what I do, you know, and what I got to do is what I try to share with folks is that sometimes you just got to suck it up and deal, and it ain't nothing to get high about. Ain't nothing to get high about. It ain't nothing to get high about. If getting high would change any circumstance, I wouldn't be standing here talking to y'all now. I'd have been gone. But I don't know nobody who successfully went out there and got high and it changed the fact that their mom died. You know, or that they lost their job or they got kicked out of their house. I don't think using changes those kind of situations. And I don't, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell y'all that I'm like, let me say this. I really believe that I'm living proof that the program works. I really believe in my heart that I live the program. I try to be involved on a few areas, on a few levels. I've been in service. Most of the time I've been clean. I still take a meeting up to Avery Road. I've been doing it for 3 years. Just somebody said we need somebody to go, and I was sitting there, I'll go. And I go. I look forward to going because what happens for me is that I understand how lucky I am, and that it is my duty to get the shit back to somebody else. Because believe it or not, somebody gave it to me. And if you think about it, everybody in here, somebody did something to get your ass in this room right now. And I need to give thanks to God for sending that person to help me through that situation. Break the patterns, which is real difficult for me because I'm still, you know, pissed off about shit. I'm still mad about what I should be in life, where I should be and all that. But I can't stay there too long because that's like brings on depression and people. Some people get high behind stuff like that. I can't beat myself up when I'm still coming up short. And the most important thing is I cannot hide behind the time I got. I can't pretend because I got X amount of years clean that I'm just this certain kind of guy that's right and rain and working this thing and living this thing every day of the week with no. That's bullshit. And if somebody in here that's got it good like that, I will talk to you at any time because I need what you got, you know. But in my experience, the folks that are honest are the ones I appreciate the most because I know where they at because they telling me. I try to tell them where I'm at. Yeah, I'm doing some shit differently and the results are improving, you know. I want to do right most of the time because the results are even going to be good or bad. You know, I don't care what you do. You get by, but you don't get away with nothing anyway. So really, what's the point? You know, but I got to go through my experience. I got to go through the process. And the last thing I'm going to say and sit down is that, thank you. The last thing I want to say is that I can't really plan the results anyway. You know, the outcome I have to accept. And acceptance is the key to the whole damn thing. I accept a lot of shit I don't like, you know. Acceptance is powerful in here, and if you like it, that's a bonus. Think about it. You know, some people are struggling with a lot of stuff, and acceptance is the only way out. I have to accept that I have certain kind of shit with me that ain't going to really change, and it's good some days and it's bad some days, and I really need to respect the power of the disease that I have because it's a bad boy. And the stronger I think I get as a result of not using, I still got a disease out there that's kicking ass and taking names. And some days it lines up and kicks my ass and takes my name. And I need to know that, you know, and you need to know that. So when it's working, it's working. When it's not working, it's still working. Thank the program folks, and I'm glad that we're able to get here. Thank you guys for being here. This is going to be a great convention. I hope everybody have a nice weekend, and I'll keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
Y'all still got some more time here if you want to share. What?
May I?
Yeah, hang on 1 second.